meeting of the Board of Directors for Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, July 12th. We will begin with a Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we will move on to the roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa?
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Chavez?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Fellow? President Santana?
Present. All five board members are present this evening. Next item is adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second from Garcia and Trevino. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Passes on a 5-0. The next item is public comment. Do we have any public comment today?
President, we have not received any written public comments. However, if anyone wishes to speak now, they may do so at the podium.
Thank you. Seeing none, we will move on to committee reports. These were all in the past couple days. We did have all three committees Monday and Tuesday. Those reports are in our packet. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, and the action items on the calendar were discussed at those committees.
Excellent. Okay. Unless anybody has anything to add, we will go ahead and move on to the consent calendar. Can I get a motion and a second on the consent calendar?
So moved.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second from Director Garcia, Director Fellow. All those in favor? Aye. All opposed? All right. That passes on a 5-0. Moving on to item 7, action discussion items. We have the Adopt Ordinance 23-2, repealing Resolution 522-642 and adopting water rates and charges for calendar year 2024. Tom?
If the directors will recall, we talked about this when we adopted the budget. We normally adopt our water rates at the same time we adopt the budget. However, due to the anticipated ballot measure in 2024 regarding the assessment of tax fees and assessments, our legal counsel advised us that we should not adopt our rates by resolution, which we historically have done, and instead adopt them by ordinance. It gives us a little more defensibility for our rate adoption. Correct, Martin? We initially thought we would go through a more robust ordinance adoption process where we'd have a first reading, a second reading. That's typically what cities do. But again, in consultation with legal counsel and Evelyn, we determined that it's not necessary for a water district to go through that process. Therefore, the board can today adopt this recommended ordinance to adopt our rates and charges. And this is our 2024 water rates. Specifically, the main one is our surcharge, which remains the same at $103 per acre foot. And with that, staff are recommending the board adopt staff's recommendation.
We have a motion. Second. Motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the water rates?
Just a question. Do we need to take a roll call vote on that or a simple voice vote?
As long as it's clear okay. How the vote went, either way is fine.
As long as it's clear how the board voted, either way by roll call or by voice vote is fine.
Voice vote.
All right. We'll just do a voice vote. All those in favor of adopting this ordinance. Sorry. All right. So we will go ahead.
President Santana, excuse the interruption. I believe that when Steve O'Neill advised us on the process, it was to be done by roll call.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Ordinance. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll just go ahead and do a roll call then.
Yeah. Safely.
Okay. No problem. Vanessa, do you want to administer the roll?
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Chavez?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Fellow?
Aye.
President Santana?
Aye. All right. So that passes on a 5-0. We will move on now to approve a professional service agreement with 789 Inc. for public relations services.
So this was discussed at the Government Affairs Community Outreach Committee on Monday. The committee recommends adoption by the board. 789 Inc. has been doing work with on our outreach. It's under the general manager's authority. My authority. Campaign of no, what do you call it, Patty? I'm going to turn it over to Patty. tell us what they've done and what they're doing.
Thank you, Tom. So 789, as Tom mentioned, was under contract last year to produce our drought messaging campaign of thank you. Following that, we have looked at other needs for public service, public relations support. Most specifically would be assistance with the maintenance of our website, and especially like the back end issues, which kind of go beyond staff's expertise. So we would like to use them for that, and also to get the website up in compliance. And then in addition to that, we want to continue using them for some rebranding projects that we have in line, and then updating some of our agency fact sheets.
All right, great. So we'll go ahead and this is something that was sent to the board with a recommendation to approve. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on this item? Seeing none. And I'd just like to add that we did discuss both this and the previous item during the committee meetings. So I think that's where most of the discussion happened. Moving on to item C, approve federal legislative bill positions. And does anybody want to take that one?
I'm going to turn right over to Patty.
Okay. So what is before the board today is two staff recommendations for two federal bills. One is H.R. 872 by Congressman Calvert regarding the Fish Act, which means the Federally Integrated Species Health Act, and staff is recommending a support. And then the second bill is H.R. 215 by Congressman Valadeo. It's the Working to Advance Tangible and Effective Reforms, known as the Water for California Act. And staff is recommending a support position on that.
Move approval of staff recommendation.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All right. Any discussion? Excellent. All right. I'm glad we are moving this forward then. All those in favor? Zero. The news article is always worth reading if you have a minute. Now on to attorney's report.
Madam President and directors, this month was spent working analyzing the Supreme Court decision on the Arizona versus Navajo Nation, where the Supreme Court overturned the Court of Appeals or Ninth Circuit in finding that the 1868 treaty between U.S. government and Navajo Nation, which established the reservation, did not impose an affirmative duty on the U.S. government to continue to ensure water supply to the Navajo Nation. We also worked with staff and assisting putting the ordinance together. And I think that was the bulk of it this month. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Do we have any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yesterday, President of the Navajo Tribe, I was at MWD, really praising Met for allowing Met to place him on the Colorado River Board. So they need a seat on the table, and I'm very appreciative of of Mitt doing that one.
So it will be interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Trevino?
Yes, I just want to say that I feel the court has ruled erroneously. This is something that has been going on for a number of years. It should have been respected. And I think that the court acted foolishly and has hurt Native Americans. Having been on that reservation, seeing what I saw, I think that it's really a shame, really a shame. So I just want to be on record about that.
And just for the record, it was a very, it was a 5-4 decision. It was a very close call.
So what is going to change because of this? Is it a repeal?
Basically, their lawsuit is over. Navajo Nation originally sued the U.S. government. The states of Colorado and Arizona intervened. Trial court found the same as the Supreme Court did. It was reversed by the Ninth Circuit, and then when it went up on appeal, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the government. So the action is over.
All right, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we will move on to engineer's report. Steve.
Thank you, Madam President. And I'm not an attorney on this stuff, but we've been involved in water supply and water rights for a long, long time. And I'm not going to necessarily go as far as Director Trevino on it, but
your old boss was then.
Yeah. I mean, it is unusual. It is unusual that the courts would not support maintaining the requirements of the government to provide water supply to reservations and retire the rights that are tied to reservations. I don't know the details of this one, but every other one that I've seen before that, the Native American tribes have won on all water rights cases, being able to demonstrate the need for water, and all they have to do is show the need for water, and it's got to be made available. And it's a reserve right, just like a federal reserve right.
Exactly, it's a reserve right, it's a priority right that the Native Americans have reserved over the years.
No different than the federal government needing water for a naval base. It's paramount to everybody else's water right, and the tribes are the same way. I don't know the details of this one, but I thought it was unusual.
Yeah, if I may, yeah. Madam President, the prevailing opinion, the majority opinion, focused on the fact that the treaty language did not contain specific wording to impose this affirmative duty. It did with others. In other words, there were other affirmative duties, continuing duties that the government had to perform according to that treaty. Assurance that there is sufficient water supply forever was not one of them. I mean, obviously, the reservation was formed, and the water sources that were there were available and were granted with the treaty.
Right.
But the court found that because of the language of the document, the affirmative duty to continue to ensure that water supply is sufficient. In other words, if it dries out, you got to go find some other water to provide to the reservation, was simply not in the language of the contract.
No. Interesting. So anyway, okay, sorry to divert a little bit there, but it was very interesting. I didn't know that happened. Anyway, engineer's report. I think you, good afternoon, everybody. Everybody knows we've got a lot going on. We're trying to figure out a lot of different things in the basin. It's kind of fun. It was a wet year, so we have a lot of things to do, and we're still trying to figure out what actually happened and what the repercussions are and where we are with the water supply. Key well elevation, I'll give you some basic stuff. Key well elevation was at 231.3 on July 7th, just a few days ago. Decrease of 0.7 feet, and I'm going to give you some background on the key well, how it's been operating, how we've been reading the key well over the last month. And I'm going to go back clear to January to give you an idea of what's been going on. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, it's been decreased. It's decreased about 2 feet from the prior month. During this whole time, the spreading grounds, Santa Fe spreading grounds, have been full. We have reduced flow into the spreading grounds down to about 100, a little over 100 CFS. We've done some of, we're doing, I'll just let you know, we're all, Tom's very interested, we're very interested. A lot of people are interested in what's going on because this water should be showing itself in the key well elevation where we measure the basin. Doesn't mean it's not there, but we still need to figure it out. Some of the easy stuff's been done. We know the water's not going someplace that we don't know where it's going. Like, it's not overfilling the Santa Fe spreading grounds and going someplace else. We know they're staying in the spreading grounds. We know what's going in the ground. What's happening under the ground? We're not quite sure. The key well is very, very close. We're in the process of looking at wells in the area that we can find that are not production wells that have a reasonable record of static groundwater level measurements going back to, you know, several months, so we can track their movement on the groundwater levels with the key well to see if we can see a correlation. There could be, there's some issue with the key well. Key well's been dry for, you know, not dry, but low for a long, long time. So these perforations that are getting wet right now haven't been wet for a long, long time. Don't know if that has any impact. It doesn't seem like it should from an engineering standpoint, but don't know until we figure this out. But we are trying to figure it out. Like I said, a decrease about 2 weeks from the prior month. I mentioned that we were running at about 250 CFS out of USG3 and just about 20 CFS out of the canyon. Cut way back up in the canyon to store some water. Water's still coming in at about 150 CFS, so we're still building up storage. It's being stored. Cut it back to about 20 CFS, most of that going to the Committee of Nine and local folks. USG3 was about 250 CFS. With about 100 to 120, 150 being put in Santa Fe, the rest going down the river. We'd started to see some water at Whittier Narrows, which we don't want to see because we don't want to be buying pretty expensive MWD water and then delivering it to the lower area. I know Tom was instrumental in shutting down the connection, changing the orifice plate down to a 200 CFS flow rate, which was done just end of last month. So right now it's flowing at about 100 CFS into the spreading grounds, about 100 CFS down the river. It's not getting past Lower Azusa Road, I think is what they said. So it is percolating the river and percolating in the spreading grounds. But we're still seeing funny things happening at the key well. Doesn't mean that we're not putting water in the ground. We are putting a lot of water in the ground. And I mentioned that I was going to give you a little bit of history because I look back because I thought it was interesting. But back in the 1st of January of this year was when the key well first started going up. And it went up at a rate of about a tenth of a foot a week all through January, up to about 4/10 in January. It picked up to between 2 and 3 in February. It got to be between two and four feet a week going up in March. By April, we were up at about 6 to 7 foot a week. That's how fast it was going up. When we're putting so we have a good communication. Then in May, it went back down to about between 2 and 3 feet a week. So we started seeing saturation and a little bit of a decrease in the perk rate. So it's not coming, the key well's not going up as fast. And then in January, it went down to about 1 foot to about 0.3. And then we saw in June, down to where it was dropping about a tenth of a 3/10 to 5/10 of a week, a foot a week. And then now we see us 7/10 in 1 week. So, the percolation rate, we know, has dropped off. County confirms it has. We've gone back to look at previous situations when we had the spreading ground, had Santa Fe wet for this long, and there's a similar pattern. Doesn't seem to me it was as striking as it is this year. It did decrease the percolation rates, and we had to start putting as much water in the spreading grounds. It did happen in previous wet years, wet periods like this, but not as striking as this. We've also, one of the concerns was maybe in the haste to get water out of the canyon and get it into spreading grounds, water may have been put into the spreading grounds that maybe wasn't as clean, maybe it wasn't, it was more turbid than it had fines in it, and some of those fines may have clogged the basin. County adamantly says that didn't happen because all of the water coming out of San Gabriel Dam goes through Morris first, and it's sat in Morris for a long time. So if there were any fines, they would decant in Morris before it goes down the river and into Santa Fe. They said they're very careful. That didn't happen. We got to believe them. We got to see what's happening. So we do have, we've had discussions. Certainly, Tom, as your general manager, in on those discussions, looking at whether it makes sense to keep going, which probably is what we're going to do. Keep going because we're still getting water in the ground. We got water available. We don't want to turn the water off. One of the options is to try and dry out the basins, stop the water going for a while, dry out the basins, maybe do a little maintenance, and then put the water back in, and hopefully the perk rate will go up. But obviously, we're going to lose all that water that while we're shut down, that water's not going in the ground. So we're going to have to pick that up, and we have no assurances how fast that it will decrease again. So we're working on that, and as we have more information, we'll certainly get back to you and let you know. We're still working on numbers for the year as to how much water we've actually at local water that we've conserved in this basin. I think it'll be on the order of 300,000, maybe more, but we don't know right now. And we're also looking more closely at the periods of time when there was so much water being in our spreading upper area, our spreading grounds, and lower area spreading grounds, Central Basin, and water still coming that they had to let water go to the ocean. And I'll just give you a heads up that we're getting numbers that were a little to quite a bit more than we first got from the county is what actually went to the ocean during that period. But we want to get confirmation because we want to get all the parties in the same room and make sure that we're all looking at the same numbers and make sure it makes sense. We have to do that for River Water Master. That's part of the accounting that River Water Master does. We have to account for water loss to the ocean because nobody gets credit for that. So it's an important number and we're working on that. So that's what's going on. I mentioned that right now at 200 CFS, it's operated to us, and it'll keep doing that through the rest of the year if we can keep putting the water in the ground. Rainfall, not a big deal. No information for putting stone. Through the end of June, we're at 155% of long-term average. San Gabriel Dam, about 181%. The only thing striking there is that we've had an enormously productive year on water supply out of the watershed, enormously productive. On the order of previous years when we had on the somewhere over 40 inches of rain. And this year at Pudding Stone, we're looking at 18 inches. I'm sorry, that's average. We're looking at 28 inches, 10 more than long-term average. So the way the rains came this year, and the way they had periods of time between the rains that came, and they were so heavy when they came, we just got an abundance of runoff. It was a very, very good year. That's just what happened. And lastly, I had the water quality during June of 2023, 18 wells were sampled under the Title 22 program. Back in May, 69 wells, almost 70 wells were sampled under Title 22. And we did not receive any new notification of new wells shut down to contamination. With that, I'll be happy. Tom may have more because I mean, between us all, we've all been working on this for quite a bit and getting all the information we can going forward. We will be, as I said, looking more at the key well as to what's going on. And as soon as we have it, we'll share it.
Yeah. So Steve pretty well covered it. Just a couple of things to add. In meetings, we've been meeting with the county and Metropolitan to look at ways we can increase the capacity to run water out of USG3. This is longer term things. This is construction and other activities. But we did talk just yesterday about the situation, what's going on. And as Steve pointed out, we have come to the conclusion we will continue running at 200 CFS for the remainder of the year because it doesn't appear it appears if we stop and try and dry the basins out to increase the percolation rate, not only do we lose time, but we're no guarantee it'll recover. So we've decided we'll continue with that. So under that, we originally projected about 125 maximum we could do through the end of the calendar year. That assumed we started June 1st. We didn't start June 1st because water was still coming out of Morris, so we started June 20th, and now we're running at a lower flow rate. So now we're looking at about 70 to 75,000 acre feet. But as we talked at the committee yesterday, Metropolitan will have carryover water on the state water project at the end of this year. So even if it's a dry year in Northern California, they'll still have water to move into the system. So we plan to keep USG3 on after the end of the calendar year, as long as we don't have a bunch of rain locally that we need to get into the ground, which will take priority. So that was it.
Good.
I was going to cover that under my GM report anyway. So
thanks, Tom.
Do we have any questions, comments? I have a question. More related to, I've been looking at this new report ever since we got it, and we have on one end here the USG3 imports, and then on the right-hand side we have San Gabriel Canyon imports. So what's the San Gabriel? Will we be getting those this year, or what is on the engineer's report?
The new format. I think that's what the water that we would put into the canyon basins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know we talk a lot about obviously importing from USG3. Is there ever going to be any movement on this board with this one?
We'll need to get back on.
Okay.
So water from USG3 can go into the canyon spreading ground.
Yes.
And so it and that's up the canyon. That's up in Azusa. And then whatever water doesn't go there flows down the river into the Santa Fe spreading grounds. But since you asked the question, and Steve and I, we don't have the answer to what should be in this chart.
Yeah.
So we got to talk to Jenny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as Scott mentioned, San Gabriel Canyon is a separate little basin up in the canyon. Mm-hmm. It's very small. It fills fast and depletes fast. And there's only a few pumpers up there. Azusa, Glendora used to have some Hessen wells up there, Cal American Water Company. There's a few wells up there, but they pump it pretty fast. And normally, whenever there's water being released out of Morris, the Committee of Nine, which has rights to surface diversions out of Morris, will work with the county and divert Morris, local water out of Morris, into the canyon spreading grounds first, fill those up, they'll overflow, and then come down the basin. That helps keep that upper canyon basin as full as possible for that local water supply. Imported water can also be put in there, as Tom mentioned, but typically the imported water goes on down the river. But we'll put some numbers in there.
I'm just curious.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And seeing no other questions or comments, general manager's report.
Yeah, and just wrap up on the deliveries. So we received the invoice from Metropolitan for the June deliveries, and all the flow through USG3 in June. They're crediting to their payback of the reverse cyclic purchase we did last fall. So the reverse cyclic was we paid for the water last year and deferred the delivery, Met promised to deliver it when it was available. So that is the first delivery, is that 15,000 acre feet of reverse cyclic that we've already paid for. And then the rest will go into Met's cyclic account. And at the end of the year, we'll work with Met, Watermaster, come up with all the numbers and tell Met how much water we want to buy out of their cyclic account at the end of the year.
We bought that
at last year's rate, which is good. So I've got a few items. I'll go through them relatively quickly. So the generator at the our leased building in Monrovia, as you recall, the landlord claimed they owned that. So we worked with Stephen O'Neill's office, went back and forth. The landlord said, and in the lease it says utilities become the property of the landlord. And they said the generator's a utility. And we said, no, it's not. So we went back and forth, but at the end of the day, in discussions with the landlord, they said, okay, but if you install something on our property and then remove it, you have to restore that location to its original condition. So that generator has a chain link fence. It's got a concrete pad, and we would spend more than the generator was worth jackhammering that concrete and replanting the landscaping. So I made the decision. I conceded. Fine. It's not worth it. So we have processed the AQMD paperwork to end our permit. We got a question. Essentially, AQMD says, well, who are you transferring it to? And we're saying we're not transferring the permit to anyone. We're canceling our permit. We no longer own the generator, and leave it up to the landlord to get it permitted if they can. So I just wanted the board to know that's the conclusion on the generator. Reported to the committee, we are working through with the city of Monrovia on an agreement for the electric vehicle chargers for the building. We've got the proposals. They are under the general manager's authority. So we'll work through the agreement. I'll make sure the legal counsel reviews the agreement. They anticipate having the agreement ready for city council approval in August. And the agreement is it's a pilot program. They want chargers available to the public, which we will allow on the outer parking area. We'll put chargers on the inner parking area as well. And they will pay for those chargers that are available to the public. So of the roughly $45,000 estimate, the city will probably cover at least $10,000 of that cost. But I wanted to let you know, I may move forward and execute that agreement under my authority because the dollar amount is within my authority, because we're not going to have another board meeting until September 13th. So that's just information for the board. Also, that we do have the receptionist accounting assistant position we've now determined it is open, and we'll begin the recruiting process. Our typical recruiting process is we will advertise in the local jobs available, et cetera. We'll solicit applications. We will use our HR services provider, which is ADP, to assist us with that process, and then screen those, go through a series of interviews, and select a candidate to fill that position. It usually takes about 2 months to get that done. In the meantime, we'll continue the services of our temporary services. Jessica will continue until such time as we fill the position. This morning, Stephen O'Neill sent to you a form for the general manager performance review. Same form you used last year. If there are performance measures that you feel aren't included in there, include those in your comments. I haven't talked to Stephen about this, but I would just say, to give you a date to turn them in, I would say Labor Day is a good date to remember, because Stephen's office will want to collate your comments and present them back to you on the 13th of September, when we plan to have a closed session for the GM performance review. Lastly, I talked to the committee about this yesterday as well, and the producers this morning, is Metropolitan Water District has been working on their Climate Action Master Plan for Water, or CAMP for Water. This came up at their retreat, which was held on February 13th, the day after the Super Bowl, and on February 14th, Valentine's Day. I don't know who chose those days, but we were at a retreat in Temecula. It started there. There's been numerous workshops with the board, with the member agencies. And on June 27th, there was a workshop at the of the Metropolitan Board. And they, for me, it's the first time I kind of saw where this is going. They're taking the findings of the Integrated Resources Plan, which the board adopted in 2022, that identifies what the problems may be in terms of reliability and resiliency for our water supply. And now they're going to work on the solutions, taking into consideration affordability, ability to finance, they want to find adaptive solutions that if we find out what we think is going to happen doesn't happen, we can adapt and adjust and so forth. It is a very important process, planning process going on at Metropolitan. We're paying close attention. We'll keep the producers informed and certainly keep the board informed as that moves along. And that concludes my report.
All right. Do we have any questions, comments? Thank you, Tom. Moving on to Metropolitan Report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Steve, you talked about the Indians today. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Stetson, who's one of the greatest men I've ever met, he had a great relationship. He would always, when we knew that he was with the Indians, he would always come back. They gave him full headgear, you know. He would come back to our meetings. And I was going to ask you, what was his name? And I remembered they used to call him Chief No Feathers because he was bald. It was always fun to see him in his garb. Just a few announcements. Two new directors joined the board yesterday. Gary Bryant, who's my seatmate, who will represent Foothill Municipal Water District, taking the place of Rich Atwater, who retired from MWD. And he had Gary just retired from MWD as a principal product control specialist after 21 years, and he's a USC grad. The other is probably somebody most of you do know. The new director is Carl E. Douglas, a very successful attorney, one of the top 100 in Los Angeles, the former manager of Johnny Cochran's law firm. And I'm sure you've all saw him on the O.J. Simpson trials. And he was appointed by Mayor Karen Bass to replace Heather Repenning. And I suspect there'll be some other replacements with the L.A. delegation as we move along. The second item is the San Diego County Local Agency Formation, LAFCO, which is responsible for approving and managing changes to local jurisdictions, voted 5-3 to authorize Fallbrook Public Utility District and Rainbow Municipal Water District to separate from the San Diego Water Quality Authority, and they plan to join Eastern Municipal Water District. And the general manager, Jack Beebe, for Fallbrook, said joining that district would enable them to buy water at a lower rate for Metropolitan. He also said the separation will bring lower water bills for both agriculture and residential customers. San Diego will likely lose a small percentage of its voting strength. And so that was an interesting ruling by the LAFCO board. Third, the Communications Regulatory and Legislative Committee met this week to discuss messaging. And what is interesting is that the subcommittee of that board, which I'm a member, has been given the task of getting people off bottled water and drinking tap water. And all of a sudden, last weekend, the big news was is that your tap water is toxic because it has PFAS, and that's all we needed. And so we have to go back to the drawing board. I talked to Z Dink yesterday, and I think what I think it's interesting what she had to say. She said they may have to take some separate funds instead of putting all the money into conservation messaging to start fighting back when the media comes up with these studies. So that was a blow to Dr. Pressman and myself, because we got to come up with these plans. I've also been named to the naming committee at MWD, and they're meeting Friday morning. We'll be talking about naming something appropriate after Congresswoman Grace Napolitano. And yesterday I mentioned that we should name something after Dianne Feinstein, because she has been the rock of water in the United States, and especially for MWD, which she loves. And I recall all the years I got to go there, and she would spend 2 and 3 hours with us. Well, I hate to say our other senators would spend 5 minutes on the railing, but I think she deserves something. And I was told I have to wait in line because there's a lot of people ahead of it, but she does deserve some recognition. It's been a great senator, water. And that's my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions related to this, and Steve, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that is, so the media is coming out, and I've seen the headlines as too for the PFAS. What is the actual story in the San Gabriel Valley? Do you have?
Sure. Yeah, we have found some PFAS in the basin. We did some initial sampling with EPA, a requirement EPA had, primarily looking at our extraction wells and our operable units where there's already contamination. To see what we had, and we did both raw water and treated water sampling, and we did find some PFAS low levels in some of that raw water, but the treatment systems that were in place took care of it, so there was not an issue. It has since then it's expanded throughout the basin, and we're doing sampling. First, we had some directed sampling based upon DDW's recommended locations, which they provided and directed where to go. And we tested those, did not really find anything of concern in the basin. The producers through the Water Master at a Basin Management Committee on the Water Master Board approved, then authorized a one-time sampling of all of the wells ahead of any DDW requirement, just to get out in front of this and to know. And we are in the process of doing that right now. We are sampling all of the wells in the basin for a one-time. The typical sampling DDW requires as multiple quarterly, and then six month average of your sampling is your result. Well, very expensive sampling to do, very expensive testing to do PFAS. So we're in the process of doing a one time sampling. We're not seeing anything that is unusual, you know, any big issues so far.
Okay, great. And when are you expecting those results from that sampling?
Probably toward the end of this year. We'll be finishing up. It was in this year's budget to get all the wells drilling this year.
Yes.
By the end of June. By the end of June, we should have all the wells. All the results will be in a month or two after that. We'll have all the results in, and then we'll provide a report, most likely Basin Management and then everybody.
Okay.
Madam Chair, you and I went to Arcadia last year and saw the PFAS structure. How come more? We don't have more of those entities in the San Gabriel Valley. Is it too costly or what? But they seem to be doing a good job.
Well, it's costly, and some locations already have treatment facilities that will treat for PFAS. So even if they have low levels, they don't have to worry about it. Other agencies either
have levels that are so low that they don't have to. They just have to, like, notify customers or do regular sampling. So the water agencies, I mean, I work for them, so I'm not, I don't have to do it, but the water agencies are very good about looking at what the regs are, looking at what the regs are coming up and making sure they're in compliance. Even if there is a hint that there may be a problem going forward, they'll either turn a well off and use other sources and then and address the issue. But the ones that need to do it in our basin are installing, Arcadia being one. In fact, we're doing it with that facility.
Yeah, they did a good job there.
Yeah.
And to add it, so the Arcadia facility, they already were planning on, they were building the facility for nitrate and the treatment, or was it for, it was for something else. It was, but they're the, it's activated carbon. Yes. And at least if there's anything good about PFAS, it's relatively easy to treat activated carbon. Other methods will treat it. So when they found the PFAS, then they modified the way they operate their facility for that. But the reason the testing is so expensive is this is in parts per trillion. So if you imagine a part per million as a gallon of water in an Olympic sized swimming pool, a part per trillion is a thousandth of a gallon of water in an Olympic sized swimming pool. Try and test for that. It's not easy. It's very, very, very low levels. So.
And there's multiple PFAS that they're testing for. Not just one of them.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. All right. Water Quality Authority report.
Yes. Thank you, Madam President. Just highlight two items. The board approved a public outreach proposal from the Civic Publications. These are the editorials that we highlight the work what the WQA is doing, as well as our partners in the water agencies. And then periodically we highlight those legislative champions that really fight for San Gabriel Valley. In this case, the last one I think was Judy Chu and Grace Napolitano being able to deliver, you know, $10 million to the WQA recently. So that was one action. The other action was the approval of a 5% COLA for its employees. On a third note, we're in July, so the agency is dark. There's no board meetings or committee meetings this month. Okay. And that's my report.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no questions, Water Master report. Director Fellow, do you have anything to add to that?
Nothing to add to the report.
Okay. Likewise. We also have AB 1234 compliance report in our packet. And now we'll move on to director's comments. Director Trevino.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, it's the sad commentary on our government. You know, I knew that this ruling had been given by the court, and when you think about the fact that when you read that in Nebraska, at an Indian school, they're looking for the bodies of 300 children that were killed and were buried in mass grave. They were killed because they happened to be Indian, Native Americans. They trusted the government. They sent their children thinking that they were going to become, quote, more American. And having been seeing a Native American Indian school, it really gets to me, because these young kids are so trusting, and the parents are trusting of our government. And when these things happen, when we have promised to take care of Native Americans and we have failed them, it's a very sad commentary on our government and our nation. And that's my comment, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Director Chavez.
I didn't have anything to report, but kind of jump on that topic. The same thing has happened in the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre, where a judge also ruled when they were trying to get some funding for the town. And I think there's only one survivor left of the massacre, and judge turned their request down. So that's another story that needs to be talked about. And that's it. On that note, or on another note, we talked about the manager's report. Tommy did a good job I'm submitting my manager's evaluation.
You take it to your office.
I can't see it. No, he can't see it. I'm giving it to our attorney.
I can't see it. Yes. You can send me a copy later, but yeah. So the directors know. I never see your original comments. It's just the collated comments that Stephen's office puts together. So you can say whatever you want. And I won't know who said it. I'll have suspicions, but I won't know.
Yes.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, Director Garcia.
No comments today.
Director Fella?
I have no comment. Thank you.
All right. I will just mention that we are we don't have a second board meeting this month, and we are dark for both committee and board meetings in August. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
So the next meeting of this board will be committee meetings in September. I will be sending out updates. It'll probably come about the date of when we would have had a board meeting. Just to give an update on the status of everything going on, just so you're abreast and informed.
All right.
And if you're wondering about anything at any time, just give us a call.
Thank you. Any future agenda items? Seeing none, we will adjourn. No, closed session?
No closed session.
All right. Thank you. Yes. Yeah.